Wow.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dungeon Stories. So good to be here. So glad to have you here. That was directed at both the audience and at you three. So glad to have you here.
Oh.
Here at the top of the show, I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to a couple of our friends. Our friends being D&D Beyond. Visit dndbeyond.com for online resources. They have all the D&D 5th edition books there. You can build your characters there. If you are a dungeon master, you can make encounters there. It helps you stay all organized. You can create homebrew, magic items, races, subclasses, so you can fully customize your game that you play there. Check out dndbeyond.com for that. Check out roll20.net to play D&D like we are over a internet connection. It's very helpful when you don't live in the same place as your D&D party, like we don't. Or just in these modern times where it's not recommended to get together. So roll20 is a great alternative, a way to still keep the game flowing. So visit roll20.net for that. And then finally, we'd like to say thank you to Hero Forge, because heroforge.com allows you to make custom miniatures for fantasy, science fiction, western, modern, basically anything that you can think of. Hero Forge has a they have a genre for it. So definitely check out Hero Forge. You can make your minis, you can color them, and then you can order them. So they make really high quality miniatures, and they're really cool. So check out heroforge.com as well. And now that we have those thank yous out of the way, it's time to introduce ourselves. My name is Norin, and I'm your dungeon master.
I'm Azel. I'm Easton. I'm playing Azel, the monk.
I'm Jenny, and I'm playing Alondra, the paladin.
I'm Michael, and I'm playing Aaron, the wizard.
Now, let's recap what happened last game, shall we? So, last session, the party, after investigating the Barley Roots Manor and learning, what they could from the Barley Roots, they left and they made their way to the Stonefort Cafe, where they had a quick bite and did a little bit of investigating. They learned that the Stoneforts didn't seem to have a connection to the Elfrona sisters necessarily, so the group split up to conduct some individual business and individual investigations. Azel met with Finthobaran, the deep gnome, for dinner. Finn informed Azel that he was a paladin of Yharnam, the god of fate and destiny. Finn believed that Yharnam had given him a vision of Azel following a map. So Finn gave Azel his best recreation of the map, and Azel convinced Finn that his new destiny might be to accompany the group while Azel searched for the Western Compass. Meanwhile, Aaron visited with the paladins of Stelnas and got his hands on a few new supplies for his magic. And during this time, Alondra made her way to the Rubble Rouser. She was going to ask around about the Journey's End Museum. But while there, she met another family who had lost a kid and possessed a wooden toy horse, just like the ones the party had seen at the Barley Roots. After completing their errands, the group rested at the Rubble Rouser, and with Finn joining them, made their way to the Farlington's house to investigate their missing daughter. While there, they discovered a couple of bottles of ink purchased from the Elfrona sisters, with one of them containing an ooze much like the ones battled at the Barley Roots house. Elandra also uncovered a trail of sea salt leading up the side of the house to the missing girl's bedroom. After concluding their investigation, the party decided to head northeast towards the village of Kabul in an attempt to intercept the Elfrona sisters on their trade route. So the Elfrona sisters usually travel from Rubbleton down southeast to the village of Bloom's Edge, and then up north to Kabul, and then back southwest to Rubbleton. So you're hoping while they are going this way that you will go the opposite direction and meet up with them. So with that plan in mind, and with Finn trailing along behind you, the now four of you set off on your journey. So you are leaving Rubbleton. And it's about a 9 or 10 day journey, kind of depending on how quick you move, depending how the weather is. Right now, you are mid-autumn about. So there is a dirt road leading from Rubbleton to Cobble. It's a little rough and rocky in some parts, but it's functional. Some parts of the road, along the sides of them, have the remnants of a wooden fence lining it. But these fences are mostly rotted away at this point, sometimes resulting in large stretches without a fence, and then the fence will pick up randomly again, marking the side of the road. So it looks like it's long unkempt at this point on that front. Bengor, the country that you are in, is famous for the Ancient Expanse. And the Ancient Expanse is basically rolling hills of grassy woodland, chock full of ancient ruins and remnants of an age long past. So as you set off on your journey, you're able to take in the sights of the Ancient Expanse. Maybe for the first time for some of you. It's mid-autumn right now, so the trees are all half full of orange and red leaves, and the missing half of these leaves are dancing along the road in front of you in the breeze. To get a vibe for the area that you're traveling through, picture the Shire, like lush green grass, rolling hills. Everything looks really lush and fertile for farming. But then also picture it, like off in the distance, you might see a large set of standing stones forming a circle, or you might see off in the distance, another a little ways away, you might see what was a statue at some point that since crumbled. So it's kind of littered, kind of like if you've played Skyrim and randomly throughout the map there would be those like holes in the ground with stairs leading down into underground caverns and stuff like that. It's kind of like that, where you would be walking and just would randomly stumble upon some kind of ruin or relic or symbol from something long ago. And this place is just kind of full of them. If you stopped to look at every single one of these ancient leftovers, you would never get where you were going. There's just far too much. And that's why the city of Rubbleton was created in the first place, because people were attending these. They were coming out here to investigate these. So a lot of these, you get the sense, have probably been investigated before by the people that have been here and established themselves as researchers. But you have plenty of time to travel. Like I said, it's about 9 to 10 days. It's about the distance from Meridian to Pocatello. But if you were walking instead of driving, so instead of 4 hours, it would be like...
quite a bit.
Yeah. It would definitely be a journey that took a while. So is there anything in this time? You guys are just setting off at this point. It's... I think it's early in the morning. I think you investigated the house, then rested, and then left. Am I correct in that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys are setting off, gathered a little bit of supplies before you left. So it's probably about... maybe 8:30, 9 a.m. And you guys are just setting off, and the sun's bright in the sky. There's a little bit of autumn wind chill, but not too bad. It's fairly temperate. Is there anything that you guys want to discuss as you kick off this first leg of your journey?
Not anything I can think of.
Yeah, I think, Azel would probably just keep walking and, like, hum a little tune.
Okay, rad.
As he's, like, walking and looking around, taking in the sights.
I would say,
their origin.
So, sorry, remind me, this is kind of going back a little bit, but Kosk, was he expecting me in any sense? Did he have any idea who I was, or was I just finding this guy who I was unknown to?
You get the sense that you were not expected. You were supposed to find him. He had no reason to be expecting you, no reason to know who you were.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's part of why you know so little about him, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say I would have like left a note at Kosk's old home just saying like, my name is Aaron Silverspruce. I'm looking for you, my friend and I, in relation to the Codex, and
Okay.
I'll be on this map, I'll be heading this direction. So I would have left like a basic note just in case before we left. But
As
other
you
than that, that's it.
Okay, great. As you guys are traveling, Finn is kind of foraging along the way. Every so often he'll like run off the road and he'll gather up mushrooms and flowers and berries. And he's always like, "This will be useful for later." And then he'll like pocket in his bag. He keeps telling you that he's a really good chef and he's excited to cook for you. And as this first day goes without incident, by the end of it, you are tired and your feet are sore from just walking all day. But you manage to kind of take a step off to the side of the road a little bit, find a nice, there's a little bit of a hill kind of forms a semicircle, and so you can kind of nestle up against the side of the hill and form a nice little camp that's kind of protected from the wind a little bit, at least on that one side. And you're able to camp down. Your first day goes smoothly. Finn starts cooking for you, and he basically prepares a pretty nice salad. And it's got like some edible flowers on the top of it, some berries that he's foraged, along with some toasted mushrooms that he cooks up in the fire. And it's pretty good. He makes a homemade dressing out of like some tree sap, so it's a little sweet, almost like maple, drizzled on top of it. And it's pretty good stuff. It's better than dry adventuring rations would have been. So Finn actually has the chef feat. And so what he'll do as you travel is he'll use that to make these little kind of treats, almost like protein bars or granola bars. And basically,
Pop off.
you can use these. He can make a treat. He can make two of them, and he can give them out to you. And you can use a bonus action to eat one, and eating one will give you temporary hit points equal to your proficiency bonus.
Jeez.
Nice. Okay. Okay,
Not
so nice
bad.
of you.
Yeah, so he'll make two of them. He'll give one to Aaron, and he'll probably give the other one to probably to Azel. Elandra, he thinks that he can handle yourself.
Oh yeah, I
Hey, wait a minute.
He says, not that the rest of you can't, but he'll kind of poke Aaron, and he'll say, "Wizards are a little soft."
Oh, that is true. I agree. Thank you.
It?
I mean, I'd say so. The eye nearly took me out a while ago, so.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good point. Alondra, what are you doing
Yeah.
here?
Oh, just touristing.
Just touristing.
Yeah.
It ju this just touristing involved getting involved in a task force. I mean, I know why Aaron's here. I know why I'm here. Why are you here?
You know, I just wanted a change of pace. So nothing like getting into a task force and going to a new city.
Azel's not buying it. Can I do a insight?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't believe me, that's hurtful.
He believes you completely.
What'd you get?
Wholeheartedly. I got a 5.
It's up to you to decide, to decide if you believe her or not, but you definitely can't tell if she's lying or not.
Cool, I don't believe her, but I can't tell if she's lying, so...
you can't, prove it, but you can believe whatever you'd like. But, yeah, the first day passes, you guys rest and wake up, and it seems, you know, pretty chill out here. A few animals maybe make their presence known, but most are easily scared off, or smaller things like rabbits and snakes you guys can easily dispose of. And Finn will kind of, you know, if he takes out a rabbit or something, he'll pick it up so that he can cook it for meal that day. But he'll never take more than probably one animal a day. Because he, you know, there's only 4 of you, and he's small, so he doesn't need a whole lot to tide you over.
Small boy.
And he prefers things like mushrooms more than meat. He'll still eat it, but he definitely prefers that kind of fungi-based diet. On the second day, he finds these massive, like, flat-topped mushrooms, and he'll take them and he cooks, like, mushroom steaks that day. So he, like, grills the mushrooms and seasons them with some natural seasonings that he found. And so it's basically you guys are just eating giant grilled heads of mushrooms, but he seasoned them like delicacies.
Dang.
Eating like kings, dude.
Not bad.
My man.
So the first few days pass kind of like that, where there's nothing but small hunting to get done. Finn, he's pretty talkative, and he's mostly pretty open. He's got a lot of stories to tell because for a large portion of his life, he was instructed by your Navim to basically wait in Rubbleton until he received his next assignment, and Finn got kind of fed up with waiting. So he left Rubbleton and kind of took off on his own to find his own adventures. And so he got into a lot of trouble. He went broke a couple of times and had to fend for himself and kind of live on the streets in some of the bigger cities. He got in a big fight and he lost his right eye. So you can tell he's got this gray eye that's got this big scar over it that's just completely... he can't see anything out of his right eye. And so he says that he's developed a little bit of an extra sense. He says he can almost see with his eyes closed because of it. And so maybe one time around the fire, you guys are kind of testing that out. You're like tossing things at him while he's got his eye closed and catching him to kind of show that off. But it's pretty fun. And as you guys are traveling on what would be probably the third day of your travel here, you come upon a large log that's it's 10 foot vertical, and even like much longer. So it's so long that it goes into the brush on either side of the road. At this point, the road is kind of on either side of it has these large bushes and kind of thistles. They're kind of spiny bushes, and they have bright green berries on them that are big and plump. And Finn makes sure to take a bunch of those berries, but he says to be careful because the spikes on the brush are a little pokey, and they're not poisonous, but if you got scratched up by them, you wouldn't, you know, you'd probably bleed for a little while. So you could go around, but it might be even more difficult than getting over the top of the log.
What does it look like the ramifications would be by setting it on fire?
In mid-August, there's no telling how far that fire would carry.
That's fair.
Things are kind of drying out in preparation for the winter, so there's no telling how far a blaze like that could carry. It could be pretty reckless.
Well, there goes that idea.
Well, poop, man.
The log, it's 10 feet, so it's not like insurmountable, but it is pretty tall. It would take some effort to scale.
To climb? Azel's gonna try to climb it. 100%. He's gonna clap his hands and rub them together.
Make an athletics check.
100%.
Oh boy.
Come on, man. 13?
Not bad.
Okay, yeah, 13's not bad at all. You start climbing, and it's not impossible to climb. Like, this is rough bark, so you can grab kind of pieces of that, as well as it has multiple small branches kind of poking off of it. So, this is a fallen tree, so there's plenty of ways to scale it, so you're able to make your way up, and you get probably about 8 feet up. It's 10 foot length, and from above you hear just a ferocious, ear-shattering squawk.
I knew it.
Okay.
Suddenly, looking down at you is what looks to be a chicken. It's the size of a chicken, but instead of feathers, it's like a kind of like grayish lizard scales, that kind of like spiny bearded, like a bearded devil lizard, kind of like that spiny look on it. And its wings, instead of being covered in feathers, they're leathery like bat wings. This is like the ugliest chicken you've ever seen.
Azel will probably be frightened at first.
Well, this chicken is going to launch a surprise attack at
you. Oh! Fun!
There we go.
You get
that's pretty good.
As it launches into action here, that it is very territorial. It has made that very clear. So everyone go ahead and roll initiative.
For this little chicky boy.
You just had to fight chicky boy.
I did, dude. That was really bad. I saw that. Alondra, sheesh.
Oof. Not the best.
What are you guys doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
Aaron has never had good initiative.
Azel's never, probably, I don't know if he's seen this chicken thing, but it's attacking him. That's my excuse.
Does the chicken make a sound?
Yeah, it's ear-shattering. A large, like, ear-shattering squawk. It's very loud.
Squawk.
And then nice. Remember, remind me, the little snacky snack that I have, that's a bonus action to consume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finn got a 4. He did really bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, maybe you should hang back.
So this is a cockatrice, is what this is called.
Cockatrice.
And it's gonna flit down at you during its surprise round here, and reach out with its like razor sharp beak.
Ooh.
And that is going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
It hits.
Okay. So you're going to gonna take 5 points of piercing damage.
Easy.
And then you need to make a constitution saving throw for me.
Oh!
Not easy. Okay. That's an 8.
An 8. So as you are gripped on this, cockatrice that swoops down at you, its wings are flapping in your face and its talons are launching out at you, and it reaches in and gets a bite out of your shoulder, and it just pierces in. You notice this, your shoulder starts to kind of lock up in place. It feels really stiff, and you notice this gray start to spread across your shoulder. This, like, stony, rocky surface starts to glow. So it seems that you are beginning to become petrified. So right now you are currently restrained. I'm going to put that little net on your character to show that you are restrained at the moment. You will get another saving throw, but if you fail the second one, then you will be petrified.
Sweet. Love that.
It's Medusa.
It's a cockatrice, boy.
It's going to come around the back this way. Fly away from Hazel. It sees that it's got him starting to lock up, and it's going to try and protect itself even more. So now, well, that's the end of the surprise round. We will move into the initiative order with Alondra. You're up first.
Yay! Okay, well, seeing this cockatrice fly behind me, is it in the air?
It is. Currently, yeah. It's about 10 feet up. It didn't descend any. It just flew around. So it's 10 okay. feet up in the air right now.
So she is going to... What is she going to do?
I'll put that little wing on its portrait.
Ah, oh, there we go.
Okay, she is going to hold her action with her rapier, and once the cockatrice gets in range, she is going to take a stab at it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, Alondra, after you, it's the cockatrice.
Oh, yay.
It is going to swipe down, swoop down, and try and get a bite off on Aaron. So as it swoops down, you can take your attack, Alondra.
My attack, it is a 19 to hit.
19 hits.
Okay, sweet. And that's 10 points of damage to it.
Jeez!
That's a pretty good shot. It swoops down and comes with its beak open, coming directly for Aaron. You reach out and you manage to get it kind of through the wing with your rapier, and it kind of knocks it a bit off course. Aaron, that's going to be a 15 to hit.
I'm going to cast shield in response to that.
Okay, awesome.
So it will give me a +5 to AC for a total of 20 and won't hit. So just like the shield of electricity, like a blue, just runs up
and
right
in
front of me.
The cockatrice hits it like a wall, basically. Just bah! And then it's startled and flies off. It's got flyby, so it won't provoke opportunity attacks. And it's gonna come land back up on the log.
Guys.
Not expected.
Okay. Okay. Hazel, it's your turn. You are restrained. So.
Okay.
Your speed is zero. Attack rolls against you have advantage. Your attacks have disadvantage. And you have disadvantage on dex saves. But right now you are just restrained.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Can I try to calm it down? Like, just like try to like animal handle it and like, hey, it's a, like, we're not trying to hurt you. Like, my experience in the jungle, I've seen a lot of animals. So Azel's gonna try to coax it and be like, okay, we're not gonna hurt you. Like, we just want to pass.
This is a guy who hit fire.
And that's with just basically calm voice and pleading words. That's your method there.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and make an animal handling check for me.
Oh, I want to see this.
That's going to be 16. With my proficiency bonus, baby.
What?
I'm proficient in animal handling, boy.
16's not bad. This, let me...
I wanted to have dinner with it.
The cockatrice
I wanted to have
very...
it for dinner.
I mean, it's very frightened right now, and these things, if you know anything about cockatrices, which... Yeah, maybe you don't. I mean, they're not exceptionally common, but they're basically like almost frenzied when they feel threatened, and so it's very hard to calm them down. However,
sweet.
I will
okay.
say that its eyes have turned from looking at you to looking down at Finn.
Oh.
But it does not look like it is. It does not look like you have its attention anymore.
Sweet.
So, Azel, at the end of your turn, please make another constitution saving throw.
Ooh.
That's a 17.
Oh, that's
okay.
better.
With that, you
I become petrified.
To, kind of break your arm out, and the stone that was starting to cover it kind of crumbles and fades, and it kind of falls off in a dust. Off of you, you kind of break out, and you have to kind of like hold on to the log with one arm and kind of roll your shoulder to work it out because it's all stiff from nearly turning to stone.
Whew. Still got it.
Okay, Aaron.
Yeah, Norrin, can I ask what are like, you know, as we've wandered and as I've explored this area, can I ask, have there been any like natural predators in the area that I could think of that at least are bigger than a cockatrice?
Yeah, definitely. Around in these areas, you have wolves. There are pretty big snakes. The snakes can get pretty big. Even certain giant rats. You might say that the rats here have a tendency to grow to unusual sizes. So there's
okay.
a bevy of predators to choose from.
Yeah, okay, so I will just, I'll picture one of the giant snakes and I'm going to cast Minor Illusion. So I'll just like pull up my little tome and like look at where I've drawn a picture of a snake and just recreate that just sitting on the branch like right over here like slithering out. So I'll cast Minor Illusion so I can create sound or an image of an object. So I'll just make a snake. It says that I can do it no larger than a 5-foot cube, so as big of a snake as I can.
Okay.
I will have it slithering out. Obviously try and get it, make sure that the cockatrice can see it, but...
Sure. Okay, yeah, that's awesome. And, this month, you are currently, in the calendar year here in Thakos, you are in the month of Illusion Moon. So when you've gone to bed, you've noticed that the moon is glowing with purple moonlight. And what this means is that basically, during this month, the moon is heavily influenced by illusion magic, and thus illusion magic is a little more powerful. So that will give, during this month, during Illusion Moon, creatures will have disadvantage on saving throws and skill checks against illusion spells. So it's going to be harder
Ooh,
for
okay.
to distinguish this illusion as an illusion. So great, great choice on that one. I'll have it do a wisdom save at disadvantage on that, too. Trying to deduce that. What's your spell DC?
That would be. Oh, come on, what is that?
5 million?
No, I don't think it's that. I'll say 15.
Okay. Well, it got a 5.
Oh.
The cockatrice looks quite frightened of the illusory snake. You see, its eyes are not intelligent to begin with. They're just beady and black. But they widen, and it definitely is like, squawk! looking at your illusory snake here. All right,
yeah, and that would certainly be my turn there.
Okay. All right, Aaron, after you is Finn. And Finn is going to say, if we could take this thing down, we should, because cockatrice wings are a delicacy. and much like the cockatrice's eyes that are just black beads, Finn's eye glazes over.
Oh my god.
at the idea of cockatrice wings. So he does not have a lot of ranged attacks. He's going to take a javelin off his back, and he's going to hurl a javelin at this cockatrice up there. Wow, natural 20.
Okay.
Yes!
Okay!
Yes! Get us
we eating good tonight!
So Finn is going to do
Sam's 7
damage walks. With that. And the cockatrice looks quite wounded. Finn takes the javelin, hurls it, and it sticks into the cockatrice's right wing and kind of pins the wing to the log. And it's kind of like trying to flap and like get away, and like one side of it is kind of lifting off of the log and the other one is stuck.
Oh.
And Finn says, well, don't just let it suffer. Alondra, take care of it. And Alondra, it's your turn.
I don't think she has any range spells, any range things she can do. Oh, I do have a dagger. Okay. Alondra is going to run up 10, 15, 20, 25 and get her dagger out and throw it at the cockatrice.
Okay, sure, yeah. Go ahead and make a range attack with that dagger.
Y'all are so mean.
It's a natural 20.
Okay.
Y'all are so mean.
Go ahead and roll damage.
I want some protein. that is 7 damage.
7 damage. Awesome. It's not quite out of its misery yet. It is quite close. It now has a dagger sticking out of its scaly chest, kind of like underneath its wing that is pinned to the log. It's now got a dagger sticking out of it, and it is just barely hanging on. It can't really flap up anymore because of the weight of the dagger in it, kind of weighing it down. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight. But after you, it is
go, Azel.
Turn.
Oh, never mind.
And the cockatrice is going to attempt to free itself from being pinned here. So it's going to make an athletics check. But it has a -2, so it's a 4, so it cannot free itself.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all so mean!
So that's the cockatrice. However, there is a
second one.
Bigger predator.
bigger predator.
We have to get this chicken out of here before something comes.
And the bigger predator is scared by the snake.
Yes, there is. It's really funny that you chose snake, Michael, because
there's a snake.
There is a giant constrictor snake making its way out of the brush. Looks like it was. You can tell by its behavior, Azel up here. You're probably the only one who can see it right now. Aaron, Alondra, and Finn, you cannot see the snake over the log. But Azel, as you're up on top of the log at this point, you can see this massive constrictor snake coming towards you. It's probably close to, like, between 10 and 15 feet long.
Oh, we can take it.
Its width is probably, like, bigger than my forearm of thickness on it. Like, it is a massive snake, and it is coming at you. You get the sense that it is hunting the cockatrice here.
Oh, heck okay. No, that's ours.
And, Azel, it's your turn now. So you have the cockatrice here.
Kill it!
Just in so much pain. And you have a giant snake hurtling at at snake speed.
Does Azel get the sense that the bar would help the cockatrice? Like, if he tried to feed it to the cockatrice?
What?
Based on what...
Freaking jungle man.
Based on what Finn told you it might...
Okay, Azel's gonna reach for the, tree, and he's gonna try to, like, or, that would be my action, huh?
Bonus action.
Well, bonus action to eat it, action to feed someone else, just like, the potions with the quick drink rule. Bonus action to drink and action to feed it to someone else.
And the cockatrice can't fly anymore.
No, it's pinned.
No, it was unable to free itself. Its right wing is pinned to the log with Finn's javelin.
Can cockatrices fly?
They can, yeah. You saw it flying around.
Oh, yeah. My head ass. Okay, Azel's gonna...
Okay.
Azel's gonna unpin it.
Okay.
And he's gonna, with a free action, tell it to fly away.
So you reach down, go ahead and make an athletics check to pull that free of the wood.
Yeah. That is going to be a, with proficiency, that's going to be 23.
All right. You grab it and yank it. That didn't look great in the camera. Let's just pretend. You grab it and you pull it out and you just kind of toss it down and it like lands on the dirt road and kind of rolls toward Finn. And the cockatrice begins to flap, although it's not its turn. Aaron, it is your turn though.
Kill it.
The cockatrice is very low. It has a massive hole in its right wing.
And my dagger still in it?
He has a dagger in its chest.
Yeah, I will just cast Mind Sliver. So Fireball. This is a cantrip that needs to make an intelligence saving throw.
Okay. That's an 8.
So it fails, so it's going to take... See how much damage. It's going to take some psychic damage. So it takes 2 points of psychic damage.
It's still alive.
Not too much. Probably.
That body language said it all.
It has one hit point left.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh!
Get it, Finn!
That was the mind. Isn't that cool?
So the mind sliver does 2 points of damage.
Oh, I thought you said it does Dippin' Dotson damage. I was like,
2 points of damage. Yeah. This third eye forms on your head, and this beam of like purple energy goes, shoots out and hits the cockatrice right in the forehead, and the cockatrice is just kind of like, it's on its side now, weighted down by the dagger, and it's just flapping its good wing, and it's just spinning in a circle on top of the log.
Yes!
Alright, Aaron, anything else? You gonna move it all?
Yeah, I'll move up a little bit closer, like, just right behind Alondra, just right here.
Okay. Alright, after you is the snake.
Actually, I didn't count any of that, but...
That's fine, it's probably under... The snake is going to come and make its way up the log. It is adept. This is its home territory around here. This is its favored terrain. This snake has a few levels in Ranger. And it makes its way up the log. And it is going to, from behind you, I will not count this as flanking, because the cockatrice is not much of a threat to you anymore, Azel. So it will not get
advantage. You do be sure.
But it is going to attempt to constrict you.
Dope.
And that is going to be a 21 to hit, Azel.
Yeah, though, that hits. Good night, girl. I'll see you tomorrow.
Azel, that's going to be 8 points of bludgeoning damage.
Solid.
And you are now grappled by the snake. It is...
Azel's bloodied.
It is wrapped up.
Pick your energy.
Cool.
So it is encircled itself around you, and it's so long that it can like wrap around you a few times to start crushing you and squeezing your arms inward, and then still come up about 5 feet above you and angle its head down towards your face. So it's now hissing in your face. Its long forked tongue is like flipping in and out at you. You can see its... Do snakes have uvula? I was going to say you can see its uvula.
Love that.
You're about to get swallowed.
They do not.
You can see its snakeula.
Yeah, thanks for that. Love that.
Okay.
Snakeula, that's great.
Is that what we settled on?
I didn't let you vote. I just chose snakeula.
Cool.
Alright, so that is the snake's turn. Now it's Finn's turn. Finn is going to go 5, 10, 15, and then he is going to attempt to scale the log. I guess he'll go 10 here, and then that will be up on the log. With a 12, I'll say he can barely manage it. It's not super hard to climb a tree. It's not difficult. But climbing, because you don't have a climb speed, will take half the movement, twice as much. It's like difficult terrain. So he moved 10. He climbed 10, which was actually 20, which leaves him with 5 move speed left. So he'll walk along the log there, and then he can't reach you, Azel. So he's going to look out and he's going to say, hang in there! And then he's going to take out his long sword and shield, and he's going to swing his sword at the cockatrice.
Yes, dinner.
So, someone's got to put it out of its misery. At this point, it's been cruel to let it live this long.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking the same way, but it's whatever.
He rolled a 10. Its armor class is 11.
Oh my gosh.
So he misses.
Great.
And he couldn't even kill it. He couldn't even kill it.
No, he couldn't.
Why are you even here?
Say that the meat
you
tastes better
him.
When it's influenced with fear.
So I did, but
we're gonna have some delicious.
Yeah, he's like standing over the illusory snake, and so this cockatrice just has pure fear in his eyes. And this sword like strikes down next to its head, and this illusory snake is still like snapping at it. By the way, that snake is probably, is minor illusion concentration? Does it last?
It lasts 1 minute and no concentration, so I haven't...
Concentration?
dismissed it, so it's still there.
Yeah, rad. That's really good. Okay, well, that's Finn's turn, so Alondra.
Alondra, get dinner or help Abel? Get dinner, help Abel.
Wow, that's a lot. No, that's whatever. Yeah.
Decision.
Yeah.
Okay, gonna move 10 feet over here and try to climb, scale the tree.
Okay.
Behind the snake.
Yeah, make an athletics check for me.
Okay. Athletics. That is a 30-20.
Okay, yeah, easy. So it'll take 20 feet of movement to get up it, but you so can. You can come into that space there behind the snake.
Sweet. Okay, and then she is going to... She is gonna... swing her rapier at the bowcaster.
Okay.
And that...
Make an attack. And I'm gonna say it's with disadvantage because you're trying not to pierce Azel.
Okay.
Watch it!
Well, that's worse. That is a 13 to hit.
13 hits.
Oh, yay! Okay.
Yes,
that's
man.
9 piercing damage, and then she's gonna turn around and pull out her sword with her bonus action and try to pierce it with her sword.
Okay.
And you said that's a disadvantage?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, if you're attacking the snake, because it's wrapped around Azel.
One of them was a natural 20, but it still hits with an 18 to hit.
Sorry, Jenny.
It's okay. And that's just 1 piercing damage.
Okay.
With that.
All right. Still really careful hits, you know. You've got your two blades out and you kind of jab in at a spot you think is safe and then quickly come again with the short sword and you manage to just barely get it without nicking Azel. And Azel, this is kind of a frightening sight to behold as this flurry of blades is flashing in front of you.
Stand still!
But I can't really go anywhere else!
The cockatrice's turn. It's gonna flit its one wing and kind of drop off the log. And it's gonna hit the ground, although it is, I mean, it's got a wing, right? Oh yeah, so it's fine as it lands. It's gonna kind of crawl its way forward, pulling itself in the sand, and Aaron, it's gonna try to bite at your ankle.
I am so gonna blast this thing.
That is a 14 to hit.
It does not.
Okay. It kind of like half-heartedly like is snapping at your ankle right now. You just kind of like lift your foot up and you're like, what the hell is this thing still doing here? Okay. Azel, it's your turn. You are grappled by this constrictor. Oh, actually, sorry, restrained. So... Speed is 0, your attack rolls have disadvantage.
Okay. Shoot, dude. Can I try to break the grapple? The restraint?
You can try to break it. It will be your action to do so.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay, so make an athletics check.
Why not? Okay. And with my proficiency, that's going to be a 22.
If you, rolling a D&D Beyond, if you're proficient in it, it should automatically add your proficiency to the roll already.
Oh. Okay. Then dirty 20.
It should, at least.
So it only added my dex modifier.
Okay.
Or the, excuse me, the athletics.
Okay. Yeah, so that, if it has a bubble in it, the athletics modifier should include both your strength mod and your proficiency. That's where... So, like, what's your strength mod?
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that's two. Whoops.
Okay. So we're good, right? Are we on the same page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But regardless, that is enough to break free of it. So you are able to kind of force yourself out, and the snake kind of topples onto the log in front of you.
Sweet. Okay. Can I spend a ki point for Step of the Wind and disengage for as a bonus action?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'm doing that. Goodbye. Sweet. Yep, so Azel's going to disengage. Oh, good lord. What's going on now? Could you remind me to disengage?
You can move, and he won't get an opportunity attack. So you can take your full movement now, and
okay.
he won't get to snap at you on your way out.
Okay. Azel's gonna jump off the log.
Okay.
And come back to here.
Okay. Anything else, Azel?
Nope. That's it.
Aaron, it's your turn.
Okay, yeah,
you now see this giant snake that had wrapped around Azel, and he's now managed to escape from it. And then there's also the very pathetic cockatrice at your feet.
Yeah, okay, so Aaron quickly flips through his spell book until there's an image of a constellation with three stars, and he is going to cast Magic Missile. So the paper comes alight, and one of the magic missiles is going to go for this cockatrice, and then the remaining two are going to go for that boa constrictor.
Okay, great. Yeah, awesome. Go ahead and roll damage on those. You don't need to roll for the cockatrice, but you can if you'd like.
Okay, well, there's the cockatrice for a total of two.
Okay.
And then here are the, wow, four total points of force damage to the snake.
Okay. So your magic missile go launching out, and one of them flies like directly up and then arcs back down and hits the cockatrice, thus ending its miserable existence. Luckily, around is only 6
Thank
seconds,
goodness.
So it was suffering for less than a minute, which I don't know if that makes it any better, but in reality, it was not suffering that long. You did kill it pretty quick.
That's good.
And then the other two, go psh, psh, and strike into the snake here.
I'll have you know I rolled three. No, that's it. I just rolled three d4s and got a one on every
Ooh.
Single one of those dice. So but that would be Aaron's turn right there. So he's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. So after you, it is the giant constrictor snake's turn, and it is going to attempt to constrict Alondra.
Oh, yay.
Natural 20, Alondra.
Oh, well, can't really do much about that.
R.I.P.
So that's going to be 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ooh. Okay.
And you are restrained
I'm bloodied.
By the snake. It Azel breaks free and then activates his disengage and just kind of like leaps off of the log and then like 3-point landing on the dirt. The snake does this like swirl around and then lunges at you lightning fast, Alondra, and wraps itself, coils up around, starting at your legs and moving upwards, and it just tightens up and locks up like your arms at your side. It is Finn's turn now. How do you look, Alondra? What's your how are your hit points looking?
She's bloody. She has 8 hit points left.
Okay. Finn can't reach you because of the way that the snake is positioned. You're still 10 feet away from him, so he can't reach you. So what he will do, he'll say, hang in there, Alondra. I forgot his voice. I don't know why I can't do this.
That sounds much deeper than his
voice. Yeah.
Whoa!
Hang in there, Alondra. Like Irish last episode. I was doing almost an Irish thing, and now I can't remember how to do that.
Good enough for me. Sounds okay. Great.
I don't have Alondra's voice yet. I think I switch like every single time she talks.
Every day Finn wakes up, you guys notice. He's
Finn?
He's going to cast Searing Smite onto his sword. So his sword is going to start glowing with this bright yellow gold flame. And he's going to attack, and that's going to be a 24 to hit. So he's going to get extra d6 of fire damage.
Ooh.
Wow.
Does he know how to cook snake too?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
So he's going to do 11 points of damage to it. And then, let's see here. The snake is then engulfed in holy flame. And as it bursts into flame, Alondra, you're a little bit worried. I forgot to roll with disadvantage for him, but I rolled again and it was higher. You're a little bit worried as it bursts into flames, and then the flames aren't touching you at all. You're not hurt at all by them as the snake erupts.
This is freaky.
Let me see if there's like a fire. There isn't really a fire symbol here. We'll make these 3 leaves. They sort of look like a flame. I think they're behind. The snake is on fire now. So at the start of each of his turns, he'll make a con save. If he fails, he'll take fire damage. And with that, Finn is concentrating. So for concentrating, I like to do this little wrench because it means he's working on it.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay, so that's Finn. Bursting the flames, strike it, and then the snake erupts into golden light. And Alondra, it's your turn.
Okay. Okay. Alondra is going to try to get out of the grapple.
Okay. So that's going to be your action. It'll be an athletics check.
An athletics, okay. Okay, that's a 13. That wasn't too high.
13 is not enough. You are stuck. Okay. You cannot free yourself.
Okay.
It tightens its grip around you, and you're unable to break free.
That's all I can do.
Oh, my bad. I'm trying to think here. How injured can I see how injured the snake is? Did we already cover this?
I don't think.
No one has asked. It does not yet seem to be bloodied. It's taken some hits, and you can tell that, but it has not lost in any of its vigor or intensity, it seems.
Okay. Can I use my bonus action outright to eat that treat?
You can. Yes, so go ahead and you pull it out, and
Cool.
it's like a
I'm
little
going to do that.
It's like a collection of berries and nuts that he's gathered, almost like a trail mix that he's kind of bounded together with like tree sap, so it's got a little bit of a sweet mapley taste. And so what that is going to do for you is you are going to get temporary hit points equal to his proficiency bonus, which at this level is 2. So you get 2 temporary hit points.
Sounds good to me. Sheesh. Okay. After doing that, Izzy's probably gonna try to climb back up the tree to help Alondra and Finn again. So he's gonna go one, and he's gonna try to climb up here so that he's behind Finn.
Yeah, make an athletics check. It's pretty easy to do, but
Yeah. Oh, I kill it. 21.
oh yeah, for sure. No problem. You basically leap up. You almost don't even touch the tree. You like grab it, you leap up halfway, grab the tree with one hand, and then pull yourself up and like pull
Sweet.
yourself up and launch the rest of the way.
Jungle's taught me well, what can I say?
Yeah.
Sweet. And then that's gonna be it.
No
Oh,
action?
actually, can I ready an action?
Yeah, what would you
If
like to
the
hold?
if the if the so I want to hold an unarmed strike,
Okay.
or actually a strike with my short sword. So a strike with my short sword if the constrictor tries to constrict Finn, or like gets close to Finn.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So Azel, after you, it is Aaron's turn.
Okay. So I will go with another mind sliver attack. So that will just be a D6. Well, they have to do an intelligence saving throw for the snake.
13.
13 is not good enough. The snake takes 5 points of spell psychic damage.
Awesome.
Pew.
You send out your beam and it strikes into it. And the snake rears up, and you can tell at this point you have wounded it. The snake is definitely showing signs of this battle now. It is growing weary. It is bloodied.
Well, we did something. Yeah, with that, honestly, I'm just gonna stay exactly where I am, just watching the snake, making sure. And can I do like with my bonus action, take like a look around just to make sure that there's not anything else kind of creeping up on
Yeah,
us?
sure. Make a perception check.
Okay. So with that perception check, I will have a. Where is that? There we go. An 11.
Okay. You don't notice anything, but that doesn't do much to sate your paranoia. Especially because
Paranoid as heck.
as you are looking around, Avaros's voice fills your head again, and he says, "Frightened, are we?" Hang in there, little one. If you get hurt, neither of us get what we want.
I just stuff that book deep into the satchel.
All right. It is the snake's turn. So it is, it has you restrained, Alondra, but it looks at Finn, and Finn looks to be about the right size for it to swallow.
No!
So while it's wrapped around you, Alondra, it's going to reach out and try and bite Finn.
Oh, fuck that noise. Okay,
and
bye.
It's going to be a 23 to hit.
Does he get close to Finn?
Yes, I will say that is close enough, especially because Finn is so short. That has to kind of come down right over top of Finn, which is totally in range. So go ahead and you can make your attack with your short sword.
Hell yeah, I can. 15.
That hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
5.
Okay. Alright, 5 points of damage. It leaps down. Your quick reflexes, you slash out and give it this nice gash about maybe 8 inches above its head. It's going to bite Finn, and that's going to be 9 points of piercing damage. And Finn's going to make a con save for poison, which he...
Ooh.
Fails. He got a 6.
Oh, Finny boy.
4 points of poison damage on top of that. And Finn goes, oh, well, that was out.
Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot to do the, he's on fire. I couldn't see the fire symbol behind. Alondra. I made a reminder to myself and then I couldn't see it. He's on fire, so he needs to make a, the snake is going to make a con save against Finn's, fire, which he got a 3 on, so he's going to take a d6 of fire damage at the start of his turn. 3 fire damage. And as Finn gets bit, he needs to make a con save to maintain concentration on his searing smite there. But that's going to be a 12, so Finn is going to maintain concentration. He manages to keep that spell up. So that was Finn's turn. After him is Alondra. You are still restrained. You can try to break free. That'll be your action. You can make an attack with disadvantage on it. Whatever you'd like to do.
She is going to... So remind me for the spells again. Somatic means you have to move your hands, correct?
Yeah. Somatic okay. Is a gesture.
Okay. Well, that won't work. Yeah. She's gonna hit it. With her bonus action, she's gonna cast Searing Smite as well. And
okay.
Try to hit it with her rapier.
Yeah, awesome. Go ahead and make an attack with disadvantage with your rapier.
Okay, that is a 13 to hit.
That just hits.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So that's 11 points of piercing damage, and then what is this? A d6. And then 2 fire damage.
Awesome. So your rapier lights up into flames as well. However, instead of being like a bright gold, yours are like a deep blue, almost
ooh,
like the color of the deep sea. And they strike into it, and then the snake lights into flames again, and now you have this gold and these blue flames kind of merging and twisting around one another on the snake, and it is writhing and in burning pain, but you still feel not even any heat, Valandra. You are not affected at all by the fire that has engulfed this giant constrictor snake.
Sweet.
All right, Azel, it's your turn.
Okay. Fuck it. Azel's gonna punch it. Right? That's what I do best. Azel's gonna spend here. It. Well, yeah. Or. Fuck. I can't enter this space, can I?
No, the snake is occupying
it. Oh. Yeah. Well, okay, okay, Azel's gonna jump down on the other side.
Okay.
And he's gonna come over here. And can he try to pull, like, Alondra? Or, like, try to free her, I guess?
Make an athletics check for me to get up the log because she's still 10 feet above you.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah, no, like I said, it's rather easy to climb the tree. So you can kind of scamper up it, reach up, and like grab her ankle. Make an athletics check as you attempt to kind of pull her down off the log.
17.
Okay, yeah. You reach up, you grab her, and Alundra, you feel your feet kind of go out from underneath you, and you kind of fall and hit the log, and then both of you make a dexterity saving throw for me as you tumble to the ground 10 feet.
Oh, watch this be my end.
14.
Okay.
You said a dex saving throw?
Yeah, dexterity save, yeah.
14 also.
Okay, you both manage to, you kind of land on your knees and then pick yourself back up. Alundra, you are no longer restrained. Go ahead and make a constitution save to try and maintain concentration on Searing Smite. I'll say that randomly being, unexpectedly being yanked off of a log might break one's concentration. I think that's kind of fair to say.
Yeah. That's an 11.
Okay. Yep. Easy. You maintain it.
Sweet.
Okay.
See ya!
Woot woot!
Alright. Aaron. Sure, sure.
So how damaged does the snake look?
Looks pretty bad now. It is... It's close. Not as bad as the cockatrice was, but...
Okay, yeah, so what I'm going to do is I am just going to rummage around for that diamond in my satchel, the one that I got from the paladins,
yeah.
And I will pull out that diamond, and through it I will cast Chromatic Orb at this snake. I'm going to choose fire. Let's see. I'm just making sure that I don't cause a forest fire here. Okay, yeah. So I will. It is going to be lightning damage.
Okay.
I'll just arc through this diamond. Some lightning damage. So I will make a spell attack against this, and that is going to be a 21 to hit.
Oh yeah, totally hits. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. Ooh, that is 16 points of lightning
Ooh.
damage
This
charged into this snake.
beam of lightning arcs out from you and strikes into it. And as it hits, there's like this swirl of lightning around it, and it is just like sizzling and smoking, still kind of with this technicolor fire burning off of it. The snake is for sure deceased.
Okay,
Ooh.
I will speak back to my snake and say, how is that for scared?
Avaros's voice fills your head once again, and he says, "Not lie. That was impressive, though. Your foe was already severely weakened."
Well, next time we'll see if we can change your mind. And I will just toss him back to the satchel, like midway through that sentence you said.
Shove your book back into the satchel, and Finn is gonna grab the snake kind of by the head that's by him. He's gonna leap off. Whoa. I didn't realize I could do that. I sort of mirrored him. I didn't realize that was a thing. But he's gonna leap off and kind of drag the snake down with you. Actually, he's not gonna leap on this side. You guys are going this direction. He's gonna leap off over here. And he, as before he does, he's gonna say, "Aaron, Aaron, grab the cockatrice." Fuck, I can't do it.
I'll grab the cockatrice and carry it with me over.
With that, you guys have a giant constrictor snake that you are trailing behind you. A cockatrice. You can take your dagger out of it, Halandra,
Okay,
and
yeah,
take
she'll
that
do
back.
that.
And you guys can continue on for the day. That was about probably 1 p.m. that occurred. As you guys are kind of walking away and reveling, you know, in like the post-battle adrenaline, and some of you feeling better than others, you know, those of you that have almost petrified or had maybe a few bruises that are gonna last a while from the snake squeezing into your sides there. Azel, you feel this warmth in your belly that kind of
Whoa.
flows up and through you, and you're not sure exactly what the cause of it was. But Azel, go ahead and gain one piety point.
Sweet. Okay.
And that puts you at 2, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah, so you have, you feel something kind of growing, and you're not sure what caused it, but yeah, go ahead and take one of those.
Interesting. Okay.
And then you guys can continue on and settle down to rest at the end of of the day. You know, the sun's starting to dip behind the mountains and kind of fade from view a bit. Finn is going to attempt to basically make like fried chicken out of the cockatrice.
Yes,
So fried
my
cockatrice
boy.
wings, he'll take the legs and kind of turn them into drumsticks, and it looks just like fried chicken when he's done with it. But when you bite into it, like the skin is almost kind of almost like a popcorn type thing because of the scales. They've kind of like ballooned up a bit on it, and they've turned almost into like a crunchy popcorn. You know, like a caramel corn, how you bite into a good caramel corn and it's got that crunch on it? And then it turns into that kind of soft popcorn thing. So it's kind of like that, where you bite in with an initial crunch, and then it turns into that airy popcorn sensation. And then the meat of it tastes pretty much just like chicken, but with a little bit of like natural kind of spice built into it. And it's really good. So you get fried cockatrice for dinner tonight.
Yes.
I can eat. Lisa wants to ask Finn, like, mouthful of like the cockatrice meat, just like, oh my god, like, where'd you learn to cook?
He says, in the Underdark, in the Umbral Caverns, there's not much else to do other than try to survive, and, you know, on the off chances that you had survived, you did what you could to make life a little more worth living, and for me, that was cooking. And once I left, it just stuck with me, and I had all these new ingredients that weren't fungus-based to cook with, and it just expanded my horizons.
What's your favorite newest dish that you've tried?
My favorite new dish, like from the surface?
Like, not, yeah, from the surface.
I had, there was a halfling family I had dinner with once, and they made me this, soup that had dumplings in it. They called it, chicken something and dumpling soup, and the something was a secret ingredient, and I still haven't figured out to this day what it was. I've tried time and time again to recreate the recipe to the best of my ability, and it tastes great every time, but just I can't quite capture what it is I'm missing.
Interesting. I didn't take you for a soup kind of guy.
Something about this. I'll have to make it for you once we have chicken and, well, something.
Right. Not cockatrice, though. Not.
Whole different ball game cooking with monsters, let me tell you.
Fair enough.
It's dangerous to cook with monsters. You see the way that oil was spitting at me.
You know, not offhand, but I'll take your word for it. Sheesh.
It's an adventure in itself sometimes. Anything else anyone would like to discuss while you're bedding down for the night?
No, Aaron would just read his book a lot.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Hazel would probably, you'll probably like try to mimic Aaron, like, kind of like hold the same posture and stuff.
All right, yeah, and with that, are you guys, you guys can get ready to bed down. Is there a like a watch of some kind that you're setting up, or what's the plan on that front?
Oh, that would be smart.
I can stay up for one watch.
I can stay up for the other. Alondra will be like, I don't need a full 8 hours rest. Four is fine with me.
Great. What?
Oh, that's useful.
Okay. I guess I'll take a nice sleep. Azel's gonna curl up and read until he falls asleep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Aaron, you take the first watch here, you begin it, and you can kind of, you know, start flipping through your book and keeping an eye out. Elandra, as you are getting settled in your meditation here, your vision is going to kind of be overcome with like waves out at sea, like a nice calm sea. And then rising up out of the waves, you're going to see a familiar figure to one that you recognize from a little while ago. You see Torinth, large, like 7-8 feet tall, sky blue skin. His ears kind of are almost like fins in the way that the edges of them are shaped. He's got webs in between his fingers and his feet, and a long mane of white hair. He's wearing these leathers, and he has kind of like a leather vest and this this open chest, revealing a like a well-muscled chest. And he's bare feet. He's has this like green cape kind of flowing in the wind behind him, the sea breeze. And he says, "Well, I see that our little plan didn't quite work out as we had hoped. It wasn't as easy to get into that box, was it, as we thought it might be?"
No, unfortunately not. Unfortunately, the town has had some incidents occurring that has closed that museum you sent me to.
Well, it's mighty fine of you to step in and help these kids, even if it is only to get access back to the museum. I mean, I won't assume that's all you're doing it for. Maybe there is a hint of altruism at play. I guess I don't really know you that well, do I?
No, I don't suppose you do. I mean, first time we met, I was just out on sea.
You were more than on sea. When I found you, you were in it.
True.
Sinking. Any journey that, you know, your mission has turned itself into an expedition, and that is, you know, my speciality. As the god of the sea and sailing and exploration, this is, playing into my forte a little bit. He kind of smiles and leans forward, and he says, "If you need anything, feel free to reach out. I know that we're new at this, but I'm here to help, is what I'm trying to say."
Oh, do I, like, pray to you? How exactly does this work?
That's the, the quickest way. Outside of magical means, I would say. You know, I can't promise I'll respond to everything. If you call to me with magic, I'll do my best to be there. But just your regular prayer, I'll do my best to attend to it. But at the very least, I'll hear it. And I'll do my best to send good vibes. If I can. Just keep that in mind. Keep me in mind. Especially now that you're out here exploring.
Alondra's hand is going to shake and she's going to say, "I'll probably go with prayer. Magic is not really my kind of thing."
Huh. You used some earlier. You lit that snake on fire. It was glorious to see.
Yeah, I guess the thought of, you know, being backed up into a corner made me forget for a second, but it's not something I tend to always use.
I see. Well, just keep in mind that now that we have formed this agreement, I'll bestow upon you Well, a little different than what you might be accustomed to, seeing as where you grew up.
Okay, I will keep that in mind. Thank you, Torrance.
Of course. Well, I'll let you get your rest. It seems that it's almost your turn to stare at the road for 4 hours.
Yeah, that should be something.
Right, well, good night. And then the vision will fade. And you can gain a piety point, Alondra.
Sweet! Woot woot.
All right. And with that, Aaron, your watch passes. Alondra, you take yours as well. And goes without issue. Your mind might be a little preoccupied, you know, but you do your best to keep a good watch, and all goes well. Everyone go ahead and take a long rest here.
Sweet.
As you wake up in the morning, and that's where we'll end this episode of Dungeon Stories, ready to continue this journey. 3 days in at this point, starting on day 4. And we'll call it there.
Yes, sir.
Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and checking out Dungeon Stories. Means a lot to us. Remember that if you are watching on YouTube, feel free to like and subscribe and all that YouTube stuff. If you're on iTunes, drop us a rating, you know, and just kind of share the good word. Follow us on our socials at Stories Dungeon on Twitter and Instagram, or Dungeon Stories on Facebook. So feel free to let others know about us and reach out and let us know what you thought. It means a lot to us. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week with another brand new episode of Dungeon Stories.